all over this building. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Let's bless the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. How many like what you feel this morning in the house of God? What a wonderful presence of the Lord. What a wonderful atmosphere. Brother Collins walked in the Holy Ghost this morning. God spoke directly to people this morning. If you listened closely, God told you what to do. God told you what was coming. And he made it very clear. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Collins, for preaching to us. Amen. Thank you for obeying God. We have shouted, we have danced, we have wept, we have cried, and there's going to be some more of that going forward. Today, I want to take some time and I want to talk to you. I want to give you something from my heart. And I want you to leave today with a clearer understanding of what you are facing in this world and who you're supposed to be. God has laid on my heart something that, as Brother Collins was preaching it, he was confirming things by the scriptures, he was quoting them by the direction he was going. So with that in mind, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. While you're turning there, again, I give honor to Brother Collins, Brother Sutton, the great leadership here at Power to Become. I'm thankful for the ministering brethren that are here. It is an honor to preach with my brother, Pastor Randy Williams, and I know the ministry of Brother Drost is going to greatly bless you. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's read beginning at verse 14. If you have it, say amen. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, everybody say the whole family, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Everybody say named. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. And this is what Brother Collins was preaching about. What is the breadth and the length and depth and height? God wants to break us out of our little boxes. He wants us to transcend and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is written to a very particular group of people, and this morning I want to talk to you for a few minutes. I'm going to teach this morning. I don't think we're going to run the aisles, but we might. We might. But I do want to impart something to you today. I want to talk to you about the people of the name. The people of the name. Look at the person next to you, tell them there's no other name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to take a moment and I want to talk about the force of this world that pushes against God's people. A spirit of this world As Brother Collins was preaching, he referenced what he came from. There's a spirit of this world that wants to keep you on a bar stool, that wants to keep you having children at 15 years of age out of wedlock, that wants to keep you addicted, that wants to keep you hating and fighting and cursing. There is a spirit. There is another spirit that wants to give you life, that wants to save you, that wants to redeem you, that wants to deliver you, that wants to set you free. The Bible calls it the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is two competing ideologies that we fight for every single day. And it's important to be able to understand and appreciate who we are and why we face what we face and how to overcome it. And at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, you got to pick a side. You got to pick a side. You've got to be like Moses when he drew a line in the sand and looked up at the people and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" I want to know who's on the Lord's side. I know the side I'm on. I made up my mind a long time ago. And this is a Bible theme. It's the kind of thing that Joshua said when he said to choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, and this has got to be the statement of every person in this room, we will serve the Lord. There is no devil too powerful if you'll make up in your mind, we will serve the Lord. We will go to church. We will serve God. We will commit ourselves. I want to talk about this because the name of Jesus is worth fighting for. And there is a spirit in this world that wants to extinguish that name, that gets angry at us when we talk about the name, when we identify with the name of God. It's the kind of thing that the devil will allow you to have the name of Jesus when you pray over your food. He'll give that to you. If you say in the name of Jesus, amen, he'll give it to you. Because there's blessing there, but there's not salvation there. And he'll give you the name of Jesus in healing. Because healing is powerful, it's great. But you can be healed and still go to hell. And so when you pray for someone for healing, you can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for you. And you'll notice that when people pray for healing, they never pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, be healed. They know there's power in the name of Jesus. And there's got to be a people that contend for the power that's in the name of Jesus. Don't you let the devil talk you out of the power of his name. Don't you let false religion talk you out of the power of his name. I'm on team Jesus. Amen. When you cast out devils, the devil will even give you that. They never said in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, come out. But what they said was in the name of Jesus. And the devil will let you have the name in that context because there is deliverance in the name of Jesus, but deliverance is not salvation. The devil knows that if you cast him out, he'll just play the long game. He'll go out and get seven of his buddies. And he'll come back. And if you haven't maintained and if you haven't kept your house full, he'll find it empty, swept, and garnished. And he'll come in and you'll be worse afterwards than you were before. The devil will give you the name of Jesus when it comes to casting out devils. But let me tell you where he's going to fight you. when you decide to get baptized in his name. When you make up in your mind, I'm going through the water in the name of Jesus Christ. This is why Joshua said what he said when he said, choose you this day, whether the gods of your fathers, and he used this phrase, on the other side of the flood. The other side of the flood. The devil doesn't ever want you getting on the other side of the flood. That's why Pharaoh tried to stop them from going through the Red Sea. He don't want you getting through the other side. The flood and the Red Sea were both shadows and types of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he'll do everything in his power to stop you from going through the water. But I'm on the other side. And I'm going to say it like G.T. Haywood said it. I've already been to the water. And I've already been baptized. I've already been converted. And I feel all right. I'm on the other side of the flood. And so the devil's going to fight you on being baptized in Jesus' name. That's where he will not give it to you. For some reason, he wants to push the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there's got to be a people of that name. So I want to take some time this morning and I want to talk about it. Because this generation has to fight for that name. Have to contend for that name. The Bible says in the book of Zechariah that the Lord will be king over all the earth in that day. And there shall be one Lord, and his name shall be one. I want to talk about where that word name comes from. And I want to describe the hatred for the name. There is a devil that hates the name of Jesus. The Bible says that Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. These three boys, their wives, they went onto the ark. When they came off of the ark, they repopulated the earth. Ham went one direction, Japheth went another direction. Shem, he stayed close to the proximity of Ararat, and he populated that region. And Shem, that name, Shem, means name. The name Shem means name. And so from that line of Shem came what were called the Shemitic people. The Shemitic line, the children of Shem. These were the people who would eventually form the Arabs. They would form the Jews. They would form the Hebrews. From that line, Abraham emerges. From that line, Isaac and Jacob emerge. They come from Shem. And they would fill that region and fill that earth. And that line always believed that there's only one God. To this day, they believe that there is one God. And so the people of the name have their origin in a belief that there is one God. Not more than one God, not multiple persons, but it is the God that made heaven and earth. There's not three, there's not 100, there's not a multiplicity, but they know what Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I'm talking to one God people today. I want to talk about the evil that wants to attack you and come against you and stop you and silence you and weaken you. There's a devil that hates this family, the people of the name of God, because this is the name of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And God wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God, that you might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height and the breadth and the length and the depth. I want you to know what you got a hold of today. Now, why does all this matter? Well, the name, the term Shemitic, morphed into the word Semitic. Semitic. The Semitic people are the Shemitic people. It all goes back to the name. Maybe you've heard the word antisemitism before. It's a form of racism. And it is part of what we now know as the Holocaust. It is probably the most striking example of an anti-Semite dynamic or an anti-name. There's a spirit of this world that hates the name. In the book of Revelation, when God speaks to those churches over and over, he says, "You have not forsaken my name. You still hold fast to my name. Don't you let anybody tell you that the name is Father. That the name is Son. That the name is Holy Ghost. Don't you let them tell you that. That's not the name. There's a name that's above every other name. And at that name, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Hallelujah. At that name, every devil has to bow. At that name, every sickness has to bow. And every knee will bow. The question is, will you bow now or will you bow later? But everybody bows before that great name. Israel's hand was always against every man's hand. Brother Collins, this is the family that you were brought into. You were brought out of the multiplicity of gods into the family of Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth. There is a family in heaven, and there's a family in earth, and they're called by the same name. And that's why the devil hates it. If the devil can come against the family on earth, he can attack the family in heaven, because it's all the same family. When the scripture talks about the whole family, heaven and earth being named, there's this concept about families and family names. In England, they had family crests. And there would be the house, this house, that house, the house of this name, the house of that name, the house of Rockefeller, the house, whatever famous name you want to put out there. Family crests, family names. It always went back to the patriarch. And there is a family. This is the family of Jesus Christ. He sits at the table. He serves us. We have been sitting at his table this week. You're sitting at his table right now. You got to ask yourself, which family am I going to be a part of? The Bible says that you cannot eat of the table of the Lord and the table of devils. One of my favorite things to do with people is to sit down at the table with them. I like to sit down at the table with them, and I like to talk to them about my family. Not the house of Urshan, because I'm thankful for my heritage, but when it comes to the things of God, I'm the house of Jesus before I'm the house of Urshan. I like to sit down and tell him about my father. I like to tell him about his blessings. I like to tell him about his great salvation. I like to tell him about the healing and the miracles and the signs and the wonders. I like to tell him what happened on Sunday night. I like to tell him about what he did for me and how he brought me out and how he delivered me. I like to tell him about the miraculous moving of the Holy Ghost that's happening. And there's nothing I like more than to see their eyes open as I show them about Jesus. We call them home Bible studies. We call them testimonies. We call them teaching people. But what you're really doing is sitting down at the table. God made room at that table for Brother Collins. Aren't you glad God made room for you? I'm glad he made room for me. There's a lot more people that need to be brought to this table. But there's not just a table here. There's a table there. The Bible says that that there would be Gentiles that would come from the east and the west and would sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus ate a last supper with them. He sat at the table with them. And it's called the Last Supper because it's the Last Supper here. But he looked at him and he said, the day is going to come when you're going to drink new wine with me in the kingdom of my Father. You're going to graduate to the table up there. And it's a family that is gathered there and that is gathered here. And the devil hates it. He'll never have a place at that table. He'll fight against you. He'll contend with you. He'll try to make you give up that family name. So think about the name for a moment. I want you to know how God has always been pulling a people for his name. If you go back to England, you'll find these names. I took some time to write down some of these names. Baker. Got any bakers? Not today. Bakers. Your last name is Baker. You know somebody with the last name Baker. You know why they were named that? Because they were bakers. You get deep stuff when you come to Power to Become. If you know any butlers, they were called butlers because, that's right, they were butlers. If you know of any Thatchers, that's because they fixed roofs and the king would give them their name. If you know any Smiths, do we have any Smiths? Surely we have one, two, three, four. Any more? Five? Six? We have six Smiths, seven. Seven Smiths. We got any more Smiths? There's Smiths all over the place. Here's Smith, there's Smith. And that name comes because somebody back along the line was a Smith. Deep stuff. They would literally take a hammer in hand and they would take iron, they would take metals and they would pound it out. They would put the fire into the forge. They would use the bellows to heat it up. They would put the metal in. They would work metal. They were smiths. And the king said, this is what you do. Your trade defines who you are. And the king gave them their name. That's where names that we understand here in the United States, where these come from. And if you have names from another place, those come from a certain place too. Names are powerful, ladies and gentlemen. And when you are a people of the name of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, don't you let anybody talk you out of it. We need people of the name. We need men of the name, women of the name. We need people who love his name, that speak his name, that celebrate his name. And there's a spirit of this world that when they find out you're baptized in Jesus' name, they say, what? You're what? You'll see this rejection. If you say the name Siddhartha Gautama, or as he's commonly known, Buddha, if you say the name Muhammad, if you say the name Hare Krishna, whatever name, you might get various reactions, but you speak the name Jesus, something happens in a place. There's recognition. There's identification. You speak that name Jesus. You contend for that name Jesus. And there will either be a great love or there will be a great hatred, because there is the polarization of the two families. Family of truth, the family of error. Anti-Semitism took its worst form in the Holocaust when there was a spirit, a demonic spirit, that moved on a man to literally kill millions of people who simply were Semites. They were Shemites. They were people that were from the name. Let me talk about that name. God has always wanted to be a part of his people. And one of the ways he did it was through their names. There's names that we take for granted in the Bible, and I want to share those with you today. Because we are transitioning. We are one generation, and then there's another generation and another generation. And ultimately, we want to be the generation of Jesus Christ. We want to proceed forth from him. We want to hold fast, the Bible says, and not deny his name. So, names that we take for granted in the Old Testament, God always wanted to put his name, weave, if you will, to weave his name through us. And just like he's woven through our names, he wants to weave himself into our lives, into the fabric of who we are. One of the names of God is El, E-L. It's a contraction of Elohim, Elohim. And if you ever see an El word in the Bible, an El name, that's God. It means Elohim is part of this. God wants to be woven into every part of our life. The name Gabriel, it's not just Gabriel, but it's Gabriel. That L tacked onto the end means God's with us. God was saying, I'm with you. Mike L. If your name's Mike, we got any Mikes? Got any Mikes? Mike L is part of that name lineage. Ezekiel. Daniel. That L tacked on. That word Dan means judge, and it means the judge of God, or judgment comes from God. His name matters. His name matters. Joel is the masculine. Jael, who ran the stake down through Sisera's head. That was the feminine. Same name, and it means Jehovah is Elohim. God put his name on his people. Samuel, they didn't say it Sam, they said it Shem. Shemuel. Literally, it means the name of God. The name of God. It was the prophet Shemuel. Amen. This is the one who would anoint King David. This is the one who anointed King Saul. This was the man who transitioned from the judges to the kings. It took the name of God to anoint the people of God. Can I take a minute and just tell you there's an anointing in the name of God? Shemuel carried the horn of oil, and he would pour out that oil on David's head. I want you to get that image in your mind right now of David kneeling down. David kneeling down in front of the prophet Shemuel, and taking that horn of oil, he would upend it over his head. And the Bible describes it that it would run down their head, down their beard, down their garment, down to the skirts. That's what the anointing did. And that's what the prophet meant when he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. If you can understand the oil being poured out upon a man, you can understand the Holy Ghost being poured out upon people. And it came through the name of God. It came through Shemuel. If you'll fall in love with his name, there'll be anointing. There'll be power. I want to speak the name of Jesus in this place. I don't want to live a generic walk with God, but I want to speak his name. I want to preach his name. I want to testify about his name. I want his name in my songs. You can talk about God, 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 God. I love you, Father. I love you, Son. But I want to hear that name, Jesus. I want that name, Jesus, spoken into my life, in my marriage, in my home, and my children. Because when you are the people of the name, you connect to something bigger than yourself. I don't mean to get worked up, but I just get excited about it. Emmanuel is God with us. That L tacked off. Now, it doesn't always come at the end. Sometimes it comes at the beginning. Sometimes it just rolls off your tongue, but Elijah. Elijah. That Jah at the end is a contraction. In the Hebrew language, there's contractions, just like you have English contractions. You take the word can not, And you can shorten it, contract it, just cram it together. Can not becomes can't. Or many places in the South, can't. Can't do it. You just contract it and you pull it together, and it shortens two concepts into one concept. That's what Jah is. It means Jehovah. El is Jehovah. Elohim is Jehovah. And it's wrapped up in the name Elijah. You want to know why there were miracles that came forth from Elijah? When you take a consecrated prophet and you put that kind of a lineage on top of him, there's going to be powerful things that happen. There's going to be people raised from the dead. There's going to be multiplication of bread. There's going to be oil that doesn't stop. There's going to be power. There's going to be fire called down from heaven. And God always wanted his name to be upon his people. Elisha. Did you know that the name Elisha is very closely related to the name Jesus? Elishua is very close to Yeshua. Elohim is Jehovah. Elohim is salvation. Is very close to Jehovah is salvation. Those names are very closely related, and Elisha is a powerful demonstration of the name of God that's a part of us. And I could go on. Eleazar, Elkanah. Three of them that I really like, is Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. I like those. Most people don't know them by those names, but they should know them by those names. Because if you know them by the other names, it's Shadrach, it's Meshach, and it's Abednego. But I don't care what the world calls you. I want to know what God calls you. I want to know who you are in God. I want to know who you really are. Babylon can call you whatever they want to call you, but I want to know what heaven calls you. I want to know what your real name is, and that the name of God is at work in our life. And I'm not like everybody else, and I can't sit down at Nebuchadnezzar's table. I'm eating from a different table. I'm partaking of a different thing. I'm part of a different family. I don't look like them. I don't talk like them. I don't dress like them, and I don't want to become part of them. There's healing in my family. There's deliverance in my family. There's power in my family. And that's what happens when you're part of that name. If God will do, I could go on. I could talk about Jeremiah. The Yah at the end of it is Jehovah. Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Hezekiah, Isaiah. God is in the name of every one of these men. We're talking about the prophets. We're reading these prophets, but God's name was woven through them. Jeconiah, Jedidiah, Obadiah, Tobiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah. The name of God is part of our lineage. Why in the world then would it surprise anybody that we're supposed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? His name matters. Put his name on your life. Be baptized in Jesus' name. If you're here and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, don't leave without being baptized in Jesus' name. Take on the name that the whole family in heaven and earth is named by. Now, this is why when you go out in public, you're different. You look different. You act different. You talk different because you're not part of the same family. I want every person in this room to take confidence in who you really are. Because if I allow myself to be seduced into the other family, if I allow myself to partake of the wrong table rather than the table of the Lord, if I give up my family heritage and my family lineage, then I forsake that name. You can be seated. This is why God was so serious about a church that would hold fast, that would hang on to his name.
So everything we're doing, the Bible said, whatever you do in word or in deed, you don't do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You do it in the name of Jesus. You take on the name of Jesus. Now, my great-grandfather took that literally. When he got in the car in Jesus' name. So he'd open up the door and he would say, in Jesus' name, sit down in the car. When he sit down in the chair, he was sitting down in that chair in Jesus' name. He's in Jesus' name. Sit down in that chair. When he walk into a house, he would say, in Jesus' name. He just believed that whatever you do in word or deed, you do it all in the name of Jesus. There's a time he pastored in New York City, and there was a woman that came and got the Holy Ghost. She was a little bitty thing, 90 pounds, soaking wet. She came in, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. They baptized her in Jesus' name, and she stopped living in sin. She wouldn't go out running around doing crazy things, staying up all night, getting drunk, and doing the stuff she used to do. And when she got the Holy Ghost, she changed everything. She started dressing modestly. She started living modestly. And her husband didn't like it. Her husband was about 6'2", 6'3", a big guy. And he told her, I don't like that church. You've changed since you've gone to that church. What's wrong with you? And she said, I don't know. Whatever's there, I love it. You should come. He said, I'm not going to come. I'm telling you, I don't want you going back to that church. She said, I'm going. I'm picking a side. And I love you, and I care about you, but I love Jesus more. It's not that we're self-righteous. It's not that we think we're better than anybody else. It just means Jesus is the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. And I love you, and I care about you, and I want to be with you, but I've got to follow him. There's another voice. There's another calling. There's another family. He said, if you go back to that church, I will beat you. And so that Sunday, she went to church. He followed her. She walked in the back door. She came up to the front, got on the front row, lifted her hands, started worshiping God, and he walked in the back door. Grandpa was about 5'7", 160 pounds, very trim man, not a big man, but a trim man. This 6'2", 220-pound guy comes walking in the back and sees that little preacher up there, and he sees his wife on the front row, and he gets mad. You can't explain why people get mad. There'll be some people that just don't like you because you make them feel bad. There's no reason why they don't like you. They don't know who you are. They don't know what you represent. But when they just see you, the spirit in them does not identify with the spirit in you. That's because you're from two different families. And he looked at her, and he came up there, and he was going to do exactly what he said. He was going to yank her and pull her out, kicking and screaming. And my grandpa, my great-grandpa, saw him coming, and he jumped in front of the woman. And he said, don't you touch this woman. And the man said, I'm here to get my wife and get out of my way. You're not going to stop me. And grandpa could feel the violence coming. And he just reared back and he said, pow, in Jesus' name. He knocked him unconscious on the ground. I'm not sure if that's the way to go about it, but whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. You just got to make up in your mind, I'm choosing a sign. I'm going to live for God. Nobody's talking me out of it. Nobody's going to. Come on, you got to know who you are. You got to know who your God is, and you got to know his purpose in your life. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. This is the name of Jesus. And the spirit of this age, it wages war against that name and against those people. It tells you, the scripture tells you in Genesis 3:15 that God would put enmity between the woman and the child. between the children of Satan and the children of the woman. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody that's born of the world is the children of Satan. You need to know that. When I was a sinner, I was a child of Satan. The Bible calls that a child of wrath, a child of condemnation. Jesus was talking to them one day, and they said, "We are children of Abraham." And he said, "You have hated me because I have spoken to you the truth. This did not Abraham. If you were Abraham's children, you would hear my voice." You got to know what family you're a part of. You got to know what family you're a part of. Hallelujah. There's some people, it doesn't matter how many scriptures you show them, they want false doctrine. You can show them Acts 2:38. You can show them Acts 4:12, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, Romans 6, Galatians 3, 1 Corinthians 1. You can show them all, and it doesn't matter. They'll look back at you and say, "I don't care. I am what I am, and I believe what I believe." But there's another group of people that when you show them that, they say, "I see it, I hear it, I identify with it. This is ringing in my spirit like a bell. This is what heaven sounds like. Where's the water? I'm ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." There's going to be a people of the name of Jesus. There's going to be a covenant people, a people of that family. Hallelujah. And we are living in a day when you need to know who you are. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know who he is. I'm watching young preachers get seduced, young ladies get seduced, getting pulled into other lifestyles and other ways of thinking. And Brother Collins mentioned it in his message. They're not following the life that God laid out in the scripture. They're eating from the table of devils and trying to eat from the table of the Lord. If you follow that family, you will become part of that family. If you eat from that table, if you allow Hollywood to feed you, if you allow the world to feed you, if you allow society to feed you, then you will become like unto that. If you sit down at the wrong table, and it's already been mentioned, if you just eat a constant diet of social media and a constant diet of Facebook reels and YouTube clips and whatever thing that Egypt and Babylon is cooking up, you're eating at the wrong table. But if you can open up this Bible and fall in love with the shepherd, he said, "My sheep, they hear my voice, and they will not go to another." You develop an ear for the things of God. Jesus said, "Why can't you hear my voice?" It's because I am from above, and you are from beneath. If you heard one speaking of the world would receive its own. But you cannot hear me, because I came forth from my Father. There's going to be a family in heaven and in earth. I'm going to sit at the right table. Amen. I'm not going to go much longer, but I want to get this across to people, because I'm talking about generations. I have sat at tables, Brother Collins, with great men. You mentioned that you had not had an opportunity to sit at that table, but Jesus makes provision at his table. This is the family, and he's the patriarch. And the Bible's filled with language about how they would fellowship, and they would sit together. They would sup with one another. And then when we get to heaven, there's going to be a marriage supper. And we're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We sit down together here, and then we are made to sit together in heavenly places. Praise God. In Christ Jesus. When I'm in Jesus Christ, I sit at that table. I get to pull up a seat to the table. And I'm glad it's not just about pedigrees and who you know and what color your skin is, and how much money you have, and how much talent you have. But my Bible says that the master of the feast told them to go out into the highways and into the byways and find the poor and the blind and the halt and the maimed and bring them in, that my house may be full. Tell them that my supper, my great feast. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the apostolic church. And there's going to be a lot of opposition to that. We're going to have a feast at the table in the middle of all the chaos and turmoil. This is not going to be a simple thing, but God's going to make a way. Hear me now. You might be going through stuff. You might be the first person in your family that decided to serve God. Sit down at this table and let God serve you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Your family might laugh at you. They might tell you you've gone crazy. You've lost your mind. They might tell you you've joined a cult. They might tell you all kind of things. You might be different than everybody around you. Sit down at the table anyway. Fall in love with the table anyway. Open up that Bible and start eating the bread of life. Take a long drink of living water. If any man hunger, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's the family of Jesus Christ. That's the table of the Lord. That's what I'm partaking of today. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says? It says, thou preparest a table before me. While everything's going right, while everybody's talking good about me, while everybody's treating me real sweet and saying nice things about me, when I have lots of money, that's when you prepare your table. You don't come to church when everything's just going right. If you wait for everything to go right, you'll never come sit down at the table. But thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the middle of false doctrine, he makes a table. In the middle of betrayal and treachery, he makes a table. In the middle of political turmoil, he makes a table. In the middle of racism, he sets a table. In the middle of mockery and trials. Husbands that abuse wives and people that leave their spouses, God makes a table anyway. Well, I gotta leave church because somebody said something mean to me. You're not eating from the same table I'm eating from. I got a hold of something good, and I'm never leaving what God's given to me. And I sat down with great men at these tables, and I heard things that blew my mind. And you know, Brother Collins, the truth is, if we compare ourselves to Jesus, no man's worthy to sit at this table. But he makes a way for me. Musicians, you all can come. Hallelujah. And I've watched as people died. I could point to people. I sat at the table with J.T. Pugh and N.A. Urshan. I sat at the table with Arliss Glass and G.A. Mangan, names of pioneers in Pentecost. I sat at the table with great men. Right now, at this table, Brother Sutton, other patriarchs, they sit at this table, they enjoy the great things of God. But what I saw was one by one, as they passed off this world, their chairs were empty. They were no more at that table, at this table. But just because they're not at this table doesn't mean they're not at the table. Because this is the family of Jesus Christ. This is the family from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. And when they disappear from this chair, they appear in that chair.
They didn't change families. They didn't change locations. They just graduated to the next stage. And one day, I plan on sitting down with them again. One day, I plan on sitting with them and saying what great things the Lord has done. You're not pulling me away from the table. You're not pulling me away from the name. You're not pulling me away from my family. You're not pulling me away from the truth. Young men, I don't care how good she looks. She's not worth leaving the table. Young lady, I don't care how tall he is. I don't care how big his smile is. And I don't care how much money he has. Don't you let him pull you away from the table. If he's not sitting at the table, then I'm not a part of that. I got a family, and if you're not part of the family, I can't be a part of you. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands in this house. I want somebody to grab a hold of this right now. I want some young adult. I want some saint of God. I want you to know. I want you to know the spirit of this world that hates that name. And I want you to lift your hands up high. I want you to hold your head up high and say, I am part of the people of the name of Jesus Christ. I am part of the tongue-talking, one God, fire-baptized, Jesus' name-baptized people of the living God. I'm part of the apostolic church that goes all the way to the book of Acts. I'm part of that family. I said, I'm part of that family. Put me in a fiery furnace, and I still love his name. Put me in a lion's den, and Danielle, the one who bears the name of God, walks through the lion's den. I don't care what they do, hang on to his name. I don't care what they say, hang on to his name. I don't care what they try to suggest, hang on to his name. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Lift your hands to heaven, musicians. Sing. Let's love him right now. I want you to let this get down deep in your spirit. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Hallelujah. What's his name today? What's his name today? What's his name today?
Lifted high, exalted,
come on, I want some people of that name. I want you to lift your voice in this house. This is who I am.
Lifted high, exalted, glorified, magnified.
His name is Jesus. Jehovah. It's become my salvation. At that name. At that name. At that name. You cast out devils. You speak with new tongues. Hallelujah.
Name above all names.
Jesus.
He is alive.
That's Jesus.
He is forever.
That's Jesus.
He is the power.
Somebody speak that name. Oh, somebody speak it right now. Speak that name over your family. Speak that name over your school. Speak it over your brother. Speak it over your sister. Stand up right now.